Hello, listeners. This is Lee Price.
This is Will Ford from Football 365.
And you're listening, smartly, to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, although I would describe it as the Chelsea FC podcast.
It's in a pocket of space. Anderson came and didn't get there. Chance for Chelsea. Goal for Chelsea. Kai Havertz in the Champions League final. And Chelsea take the lead in Porto.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, your number one source for all things Chelsea. On this episode, we're going to be asking the question, who will succeed Thiago Silva, Cesar Azpilicueta and Marcos Alonso in our squad? Could it be a major new signing or perhaps someone from the academy? Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of At the Bridge Pod. It's the end of the first international break of the season. But we've got one in less than a month, and then we've got another one after that in less than a month after that one finishes. So get excited for that. But it means that the fall autumn season is upon us, and I'm sure my two co-hosts have had their pumpkin spice lattes ready to go.
No, I haven't. But either way, I'm excited that the football's back. Chelsea are back. And you know what? I forgot how painful the international break was. I mean, I can't believe we've got another one next month. How mad is that?
Very many of them.
Chris, how are you doing, my friend?
I don't know whether you two feel the same, but it seemed like the longest international break ever as well. Like, they normally drag, but I think it seems like so long ago since the last Chelsea game.
You know what? I swear there only used to be two international games. Now there's three. I feel like it's slowly creeping up.
Aren't they condensing it because of the World Cup being in?
Maybe Christmas.
That would make a lot of sense. But even so, it's just boring, isn't it? The international break.
I think it's mad that the Premier League returns now, but then it's the Champions League next week as well.
Yeah, that is insane.
That is true.
It's like, whoa, okay. True. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't have BT Sports, so I'll probably be watching Bournemouth versus QPR or something when we play.
Just a quick question. Who won the Champions League last year? I kind of forgot.
Oh, Champions of Europe. Weren't Arsenal. Definitely
weren't Spurs. Definitely wasn't Spurs. Chris, do you have any idea?
It weren't West Ham, but it was definitely a London team, wasn't it?
Definitely blue.
Definitely blue.
Do you think it was Chelsea, Beth?
Possibly. You know what? Now that you mention it, I think it was the two-time European Cup winners, Chelsea. That's definitely who it was.
I think that's perfect to head straight into that newsroom and see what the latest is at Stamford Bridge. Now, look, the transfer window is closed. It's over. Go home. The elevator transfer news out of order till January. But we have the other elevator next door, the elevator of, well, just news. Lokomotiv Moscow retired the number 10 shirt in honour of Dmitry Loskov. Well, they did. He was their greatest ever player. They brought it out of retirement for the Chelsea loanee Tino Anderin. Chelsea could offer Christian Pulisic, Callum Hudson-Odoi or Hakim Ziyech in a January move for Bayern Munich's Leroy Sané. Chelsea spent months trying to convince Tino Livramento to sign a new deal at Stamford Bridge before the player moved to Southampton. Thomas Tuchel has asked Chelsea to start negotiating with players Azpilicueta, Christensen and Rudiger for contract extensions. The contract extensions in regards for Christensen are going well. Thomas Tuchel called Saul Niguez to outline his plans to the midfielder of using him solely as a central midfielder, and that's what brought Saul to Stamford Bridge. The Club World Cup is not going to be hosted in Japan anymore due to the pandemic. Qatar remains the likely replacement. Christian Pulisic suffered an ankle injury in the USA's 4-1 victory over Honduras. And finally, Goose Hiddink has retired from football management, and we wish him a great retirement because he's an absolute legend at our club for what he did when he was parachuted in. What has taken your interest this week, guys?
To be fair, there's quite a lot to unpack there. I think one of the most interesting things I read this week was about Rudiger and the fact that the contract talks with him have stalled a bit, and apparently he said that he wants to keep his options open. And of course, PSG are looking at him. They absolutely love a free agent, so why wouldn't they be looking at him?
Exactly.
I think that's actually going to be really interesting. I think he could leave, because I think if he wanted to stay that much, he'd just sign the contract or at least be saying more positive things publicly. So I think Rudiger could be leaving pretty soon. I don't understand the Leroy Sané move. I think he's a good player, Leroy Sané. I don't think he's got a very good attitude, though. I think there was times at Man City where he seems to have this really sort of laboured style of playing, and I think that's why Guardiola never really used him as a regular. He had spells where he was a regular in the team, but then he had a lot of time out as well, and there was always rumours about his attitude around training and things. It seems like a strange one to me, because he is a good player, but I don't think he's that much better than any of those players who were rumoured to be offering in exchange. Mm. But they have better attitudes than he does. So that would be a strange move for me, that one.
I do agree with you there. I was thinking, like, with his injury record as well, I feel, would getting rid of Pulisic, say, and bringing in Sané, would that be beneficial to us? I don't think it would, because I think you're just basically getting the same player, the same sort of injuries. And like you said, he's got attitude problems, and I don't think he's disciplined enough to play in a certain system like Tuchel likes to play. So I don't think it would work. I think there'd be better options out there if we were to look at someone else. But for me, I think I'd keep, you know, Pulisic, I'd keep Ziyech, I'd keep Hudson-Odoi. I would stay away from Sané. And going to the Rudiger point, I'm with you, Chris. I actually think he may go. I wouldn't necessarily be angry with him if he was to go. I think he's actually become a bit of a cult figure, Antonio Rudiger at Chelsea. I think when he first came in, there was question marks over him. But I think when you look back at his record and look how he's played, especially over the past year, I think he's actually been one of our best defenders over the past 3-4 years. So for me, I definitely wouldn't disagree with him. Well, I wouldn't be angry with him going, but I would like it to stay.
It's a difficult one, because you know he's a top-class player for all the banter he sometimes gets.
But
for me, this is just my view, when I started to hear that he's content to keep an eye open, see what's going on at his options, that is a bit of a red flag, because it suggests he's not 100% committed to the club in the long term. And I know the argument is all players do that. That's true. Players do that. However, this does feel, if we come to January, he can sign a contract with a club outside of the UK, realistically. And then that caused a problem for us in the long term, because we need a replacement. And that's perfect for our topic when we get onto that. That's kind of my concerns. I mean, I personally, you know, if you want to stay at a club or not. He's been here long enough to suggest that you'd know, especially when you've just won a Champions League. I would say you're pretty much bought into this project, and it's kind of giving the impression that he's not. And we have many a player that would relish his opportunity in that first 11, Trevor Chalobah being one. That's kind of how I see it. But I think if he hasn't signed a new deal by the 1st of January, I could see him and Frank Kessié being at PSG next summer.
Possibly.
Yeah. Because they'll throw the money at him. And let's be honest, they'll just go, oh, look at that. Frank Kessié, I was reading about the different signing on fees and everything else to do with him that rumoured, because they're always rumoured, from PSG. Well, it's just ridiculous figures. You wouldn't not turn it down. Irrelevant of where you're at, you think, that's a lot of money. Wow. And especially when we've just gone through a pandemic as well, money is very tight with clubs. PSG can sort of flex their muscles and show their financial power, and they could just do that again. One thing I wanted to bring up, it's been a debate topic, World Cups every 2 years. Are you for or against this?
Against it. I don't think it should happen. I don't want it to happen. I think it should be every 4 years. It loses its prestige if you have it every 2 years.
Right, before Chris jumps in, because Chris is the voice of reason, he will give us a very, very fair, detailed opinion. And that's not
sarcasm. Are you saying I don't?
I am not saying that. But he always comes up with a point that I'm sometimes thinking, you know what, I think I've got to question my own opinion here. Like, I sort of see the positives and negatives. The burnout, the never-ending fixture pile-up. Wow, we don't need that. But then you could also argue the positive. Say, Marco Reus, he missed Germany's World Cup, didn't he, due to injury. And he would certainly have relished more chances to just play at a World Cup. And naturally, I love the ITV and BBC intros before a live game. I mean, they're pretty amazing. And hey, England may even get to host a World Cup if it was every 2 years. But go on, Bev.
I just think that it's if you have it every 2 years, it loses its prestige. I think players will get burnt out. I don't think the World Cup is supposed to be like sort of this big spectacle, and when you have it every 2 years, it just isn't. It's like having the Olympics every 2 years. It loses its appeal, and it doesn't feel right having it every 2 years. That's my view anyway. Chris, I don't know what your views is, but
I agree. The only way I think it could possibly work is I think this is a really bad idea, but I think you'd have to get rid of continental cups, so the Euros, the Copa America, African Cup of Nations. The only way it would work is if you got rid of those tournaments and then it was just the World Cup every 2 years, and that's the only international competition you can play for. That wouldn't work though, no. Because we all loved the Euros, the summer just gone. South Americans love the Copa America. African Cup of Nations is massive because those nations don't, no disrespect to them, but they don't normally, and they wouldn't be expected to be reaching World Cup finals. So that's their way of having international success. So I don't really understand why they're pushing it so much. I mean, there's probably some monetary gain in there somewhere. But I don't think there's been a massive cry from fans about wanting the World Cup every 2 years. So I don't really know why it's come about all of a sudden.
Yeah, actually, an interesting point would be, you think of winners, would any of, you had Chile win the Copa America a couple of times. Would they have won a World Cup? It would have been possible, but unlikely. And then you think of the Africa Cup of Nations, where you had Zambia win it. Would they have won a World Cup? That would have been extremely, extremely unlikely. And you just think of that story, you think, wow, Zambia have a trophy, a title. That's amazing for each one of those players in that squad and the coaching staff. And I can totally see it. I mean, in a way, I've got to a point with this topic that I just don't bloody care what FIFA do, because FIFA will be FIFA. They don't care what the average fan thinks or wants. They will just do what's best for them financially. That's not, not me being cruel and going, I don't care. We just know that FIFA will do what they want. It doesn't matter what we think, whether we think every 2 years, every four, every six. They'll just go, well, which makes the most money, guys? Oh, that one. We'll have that one then. It's just we've grown to accept that, which we shouldn't have, but it kind of feels like that.
I also think, though, that the interest in it wouldn't be as high, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that would mean, if you do keep the continental competitions, which I'm assuming they would, because UEFA run the Euros anyway, so I would imagine that they're not going to back down and suddenly stop running that competition. Mm. That would mean you would have a World Cup, then a Euros, then a World Cup. So three summers in a row, you would have international tournaments. I think people would lose interest.
And Nations League.
Oh, well, yeah. So you would have an international competition every summer. Which seems ridiculous.
I think being funny, these players would be absolutely knackered. I mean, I know like the professionals and the athletes, but they'd have no time off pretty much, realistically. I mean, pre-season would be very, very short every single season if he was to do that.
And you've got the Olympics as well, because obviously they have football in there. It's a lot of football, a lot of physical activity. So we're going to just scoot on to our main topic. We gave you listeners the chance to choose this week's topic. And you went with who should succeed Thiago Silva, Azpilicueta and Marcos Alonso in the future. It's a headline. What a headline for a topic. It's a big one to discuss. And I guess we'll sort of take it in name order. I mean, we'll start up with Thiago Silva. He's a very young man. He's a young 36 and he turns 37 this September. He doesn't play very well against West Bromwich Albion, but he does really well against the other teams. And that's what matters, you know. West Brom aren't in our league anymore. So he's most likely going to be leaving come the end of this season when his deal expires. Now, this type of discussion can vary because, do we buy? Do we look from within? So let's be fair and start with looking from within. So who would you see succeeding him, guys? Be it in the academy or someone who's already in our squad?
I think the name that sort of screams out to everyone is Trevor Chalobah. Obviously, the start he's had to the season. I think at the start of the season, if you ask me, he was to replace Thiago Silva from the squad or from the academy, I wouldn't have said Chalobah. But after seeing him and after seeing how he plays, I think he'd be more than capable of filling in for Thiago. Obviously, he's not on that same level yet. I still think positionally, he has to get a bit better. But on the ball, he's very, very good. He's got the pace, he's got the height, he's got all the attributes to be a world-class centre-back, and Tuchel clearly has faith in him, otherwise he'd have got rid of him this summer or sent him out on loan. So I think Chalobah is the obvious one from the academy at the minute.
Yeah, I think Trevor Chalobah. I mean, I've got three names down, but it kind of all depends what happens with Rudiger, because then you could be buying anywhere. I mean, Trevor Chalobah's the standout name. You've got, obviously, I hope this is pronounced right, Mbuyamba. Yeah. You've also got Ethan Ampadu. He has played in that position. Got endless loanees. And Malang Sarr, I think we've all sort of forgot how we signed that promising wonder kid, so to speak, on a free from Nice. What do you think, Chris? Who do you see succeeding from within our squad?
It's tough because, when we're saying replace Thiago Silva, we really mean in terms of the squad and potentially the starting 11, not a player of his quality. Because I think if you're going to replace his quality, I think it would have to be a signing. I don't think there's a player, anyone on that list as good as they are and probably will be. I don't think there's anyone who's anywhere near his level yet.
Lewis Baker, he did all right at centre back.
He did really well in pre-season, actually, yeah. Chalobah's the obvious one. It'll be interesting to see how he develops this season. I'm hoping he gets the game time to see by the end of the season we can say whether he's a Chelsea player or not. Ethan Ampadu, to be honest, I think his career has just stalled. He's not going to get game time at us this season. Is he going to be a Chelsea player in the future? I highly doubt it now. I think the Sheffield United loan move was really bad for him. I don't think he developed there at all. I don't think he learned anything except how to lose most games. So promoting from within, really, it's going to be tough. I mean, I hadn't really thought about it until you told us what the topic was going to be this week. But I mean, we could be in a position where next summer we're losing or at least looking to replace four of our back five.
Yeah, oh, it's mad, but it's so true.
Aspilicueta won't be leaving the club. I wouldn't have thought anyway. But this is surely his last season as a first team regular. Next season, you'll be looking to gradually phase him out. Thiago Silva could leave. Rudiger could leave. Marcus Alonso could leave. You know, we are in a bit of a dilemma defensively, because I was thinking about this when obviously we're talking about replacing players. The pool of really good defenders isn't that big at the moment in terms of going out to buy people. And then everyone you sort of do go to get now is a risk. I mean, Liverpool have just signed that Konate. Mm-hmm. Huge fit. He hasn't featured for them yet. And I was reading something the other day where apparently there's rumours coming out of Liverpool that he's not at the level they expected him to be at. So, I mean, they're spending huge fees on a player like that who had a good reputation and might still go on and be a really good signing. But he's come in and they've realised that he isn't anywhere near the level they thought he was.
Yeah. I mean, signings, it's going to be a sign. I mean, Ethan Ampadu, fair play, he's 20. It feels like he's been with us forever. But signings, it's got to be Jules Koundé for me. I mean, maybe you could bring in Bastoni. Maybe even on a cheap deal if Inter are in financial difficulty still next season. You never know. Agent Romelu Lukaku might help us out there. Maybe even agent Mateo Kovacic. He did have a spell at Inter Milan. Let's not forget that. I don't know. Okay. Look, Bastoni is a top-tier talent on video games, but he's shown in reality that he could be just as good. I mean, other names for me, maybe Leverkusen's Tabsoba. He's pretty solid. Yeah. It's getting value as well. I think the value side is going to be difficult as well. And naturally, because of the fact that we're going to be not desperate, but as you just said, Chris, we could be looking at replacing a fair bit of our back line. We're going to have to pay for it. And if we thought this year was steep with Jules Koundé, could be steeper next summer.
Yeah, I think we've got to look at players who are adaptable in terms of playing a back four and a back three. If you're looking at centre backs, for example, if you're signing a centre back who's never played in a back three system before, they might be really good in a back four. Kurt Zouma is a prime example of. I thought Kurt Zouma in a back four was at times he was probably up there as one of our best defenders in a back four. but never looked as comfortable in a back three. Still had some good games, but wasn't as comfortable in a back three as he was in a back four. So, you know, when you're going out and you're spending 60, 65 million pounds on a player and they've only played in a back four, and then you're bringing them in to play in a back three, it is a risk because they might not adapt to that. That's why I think Bastoni is a good option. I do like him. He's had a very good season at Inter Milan last season. Has played in a back three system, left footed as well. So all of that does help. I think he would be a good signing. But I mean, Inter Milan aren't going to keep selling all of their players, surely.
No, I mean, I like Wesley Fofana. Obviously, hopefully he'll come back from his leg injury. You never know how they're going to come back. Obviously, because of that was horrific, and obviously everyone wishes him the best. One player I've seen us linked with was Koulibaly, which just makes me think, again, I mean, he could be like the Wesley Schneider to Man United. Will he ever get a move? Probably, I don't know, he might do. It's a weird one. I mean, I could see us even going for Soyuncu. I know that's, I don't really want that, but I could see that happening, knowing our club. I mean, there's not a lot of quality at centre-back. I think next summer, or even January, just pay the money for Jules Koundé, or at least try and get a reasonable deal so you keep face as well. Because obviously, it'd be a bit weird to say we weren't paying it this summer and then go and pay it anyway in January. But
Yeah.
So, Azpilicueta, you know, come on down for a chat about his future. Now, I feel that many do feel that Azpilicueta is just a few games away from dropping off since about 2018. He did sort of have a period where he was a bit poor and then he bounced back. And personally, I don't think he's going to just drop off a cliff. You know, he's a top, top professional player. He could go on like almost like a Zanetti type of character, or even Dani Alves. I mean, he plays that right centre-back role more than a wing-back, probably as well. Age is probably a factor there. I think that it's kind of the concern when we talk wing-backs or just left-side, right-sided defenders. We saw with Ashley Cole, you know, he was top tier in 2012. 2 years later, not so much. And I think that's kind of where people worry. We need someone perhaps on that right, or, you know. What are your thoughts on our captain?
I mean, I think Azpilicueta is one of them that could probably keep going for another 2-3 years. I think, like Chris said, I don't think he's going to be a mainstay for next season. I don't think he's going to be in the squad, in the starting 11 for every single game. But I still think he'll be there for the majority. But you will need to look to face him up soon. I think centre-backs, we do need at least a couple, whether that be Shalaber, someone from the academy, or a Koundé, or a Bastoni. But I also think we need more depth at wing-back, because I definitely don't think Azpilicueta will be good for that wing-back role next season. And even this season, I don't think we should play him there as much. So that just leaves either Reece James or Hudson-Odoi. And I think Hudson-Odoi, I don't think he really wants to play there. So I think... I think it was a bad move on our part. I know Livramento is his choice to go, but I would have done everything possible to keep him because he looks the part.
It seems that we did. It really does.
Yeah,
there's nothing you can do when he's got that left on his deal. You know.
But I just feel that we need, even Tariq Lamptey last year, I almost felt like it's a bit of a regret letting him go, like, because it just seemed as if he had so much potential. Sean Livramento now looks like he's got so much potential, and because he's so paper thin at right wing back, I just feel that that'd be perfect there, perfect for replacing for Reece James. But
another one with contracts, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is one of them. But then you look at it and you think, who's actually available? Who could we get in at wing back? Dumfries, who I really like, has just gone to Inter Milan. Hakimi has obviously just gone to PSG. And then where's the real high world-class quality there? Obviously, Trent is at Liverpool, Kyle Walker's at Man City. England have got like an unbelievable amount of highly talented wing-backs and right-backs. So maybe Kieran Trippier is a good shout. I don't know. He's getting on a bit now. I think he's 30, but might be a good backup option.
I don't think he'd take backup. He'd come in as a first-teamer.
Yeah.
And you're not going to bench Reece.
Yeah, Tottenham links as well. So, but... other than that, I can't really think of anyone that would be able to get in at the moment, any like world-class options anyway.
Yeah. What are you feeling on this one, Chris?
I agree completely with Berth. The issue we've got is Azpilicueta is irreplaceable because he's two players almost.
Mm.
We'll have to replace him as a centre-back and replace him as a wing-back. which is tough. It's hard enough to replace him as a centre back, but it's even harder to replace him as a wing back. That's why I think Thomas Tuchel has got a big season ahead to see whether he can transform one of our players we've got already into a wing back. I'm thinking Hudson-Odoi, maybe even Christian Pulisic, who he used as a wing back in pre-season. Can he convert one of them into a wing back? So we don't have to worry about that signing to replace Azpilicueta, just replacing him as a centre half. Because you know you're looking at someone we signed for £9 million, has been an unbelievable player for us, and we're going to have to spend what, probably £120 million to replace him, because we've got to sign a top quality centre back and a wing back. But then you made a great point, Mikey. Who do you get at wing back? When you're telling them you're coming in a second choice, that's when you end up with people like Zappa Costa, who are coming from a team mid-table, that are just happy to be at the club, which is great for the squad depth. But if they're never really pushing the starting player, you don't get more out of the starting player, because they're not being pushed for a first team place. If we brought in, say, Zappa Costa, not Zappa Costa, but a player of his quality, and we bring in a player like him for £20 million, and we say to him, are you going to be back up to Reece James? Is he ever really going to push Reece James to improve and be at his best every week? Not really, because James is going to think, well, I'm playing every week. I'm not saying that's an attitude thing on James's part. I'm just saying players at elite level, they thrive off the competition for places and knowing that they have to be at their best every week. And when you've got a player who isn't nowhere near your quality, that doesn't happen.
No. I mean, I feel that I wrote this in my notes, and it's technically appropriate, but I feel that Rudiger's more likely to be gone before Azpilicueta departs. So I can't see Azpilicueta leaving. It does depend on contracts. You know, we have our one-year deal policy. The chance that could also, that does have its leeway. We've seen that before, and I think it would be leeway for Azpilicueta. The chance of Rudiger signing the extension too, that's up in the air. And it's obviously the same names again I listed for replacing Silva. You know, the more we talk about this, and I said it earlier, next summer we're going to need two top-class central defenders. That's the problem. Right, finally, we go from one Spaniard to another. And this is one that divides the fans dramatically. It's obviously the left wing back, Maestro himself, Marcos Alonso. We signed him for Fiorentina. Fans weren't happy then due to his spells at Bolton and Sunderland. Fair enough. He's been solid, though, mainly. I mean, sort of when called upon. You know, he's just when you think his time's over, he just shocks us all and he comes roaring back. Fair play to him for that. How do we replace Mr. Alonso when we already have Chilwell? Now, I'll bring you guys into this, but I put it out on Twitter if anyone had any opinions, and they might get tweets read out. Two top friends of the show, in Chris Bailey and Will Ford, wrote in, and I love their suggestions. Chris Bailey said, Teo Hernandez from AC Milan, because he's great at getting forward and great at defending. He would pretty much probably bench Chilwell, if I'm honest, because Teo Hernandez is amazing in that position. And Will Ford went for an absolute roll of the dice by saying Leroy Sane at left wing back. So that possible. I mean, we've got Pulisic, who could be off. Pulisic, I think, is in a bit of a difficult situation because he just cannot stay fit. And that's extremely concerning for me. I love him. He's amazing when he plays. He's an absolute game changer when he plays. But that's the question. When? He seems to have a bit of a problem with staying fit. Guys, what are you thinking? As well as on those two guys' opinions as well.
I think Theo Hernandez is a great, great shout. The thing is, like, Marcos Alonso has got a lot of stick, but I've always said that as a wing-back, I don't think you'll get many better options than Marcos Alonso. Yes, I know he's not very quick, but I think technically, as a footballer, I actually think he's brilliant. And I think, obviously, he scored many, many important goals for us, which I think almost gets overlooked sometimes. But you look at the brace he got against Spurs at Wembley, you know, some of the goals he scored last season when he was out for so long. I mean, he's a top, top player and being a good servant for us. I don't care what anyone says, he has been a good servant. Mm. But I've always thought that Luca Dean from Everton is a great... option to me.
I like him.
That's fair.
I think I think he's a good set piece taker. He can get up and down. I actually think he's very similar to Ben Chilwell, but I think he's got. I think he can get. He's a better dead ball specialist, and I think he could probably get him more goals. And I think he'd probably be cheaper than Theo Hernandez. So that'd be my option if we were to go for someone anyway.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I would say if you look at the money that we spent on Ben Chilwell, then he's got to come in at some point as the starting left wing back. He's got to be the one who the other guy is trying to dislodge in the team. And I think he deserves that Chilwell because he has always performed well for us. I think Alonso's keeping him out of the team at the moment. And to be honest, rightly so, for the reasons that Tuchel outlined, that Alonso's had more of a pre-season and he's performing. So why would you drop him? But Chilwell is the obvious first team replacement. So again, we could be looking at backup players. And I've got two I can think of. Now, one is very much like Marcus Alonso in terms of not brilliant defensively, but gets a lot of goals from a wing-back position. And that's Robin Gosens.
Oh, yeah. Nice shout, that.
Gets a lot of goals from left wing back. And he, whenever I watch him play, he reminds me of Marcus Alonso. He's always in the box like a centre forward, but he's actually playing wing back. There's that German connection there again as well with the players we've already got in. And another one, a bit left field, but I think would be relatively cheap, would be relatively happy, I think, to come in as a backup player, but could push Chilwell for a first team place, would be Angelino. The one who was at Man City and then went to Leipzig.
Yeah.
He's put in some really good performances for Leipzig at left wing back. He's been good in Champions League games. He's got that experience. I don't think he'd be overly expensive. So I think he could be a good shout.
Mm. I mean, Luka Dean, I just can't see that happening because he's just signed a contract extension this year till 2025.
Yeah.
So that's going to cost money. And we're not going to pay that much money for a player who's 28 and turns 29 next summer. It's just the Chelsea way. It's a Chelsea thing. It's not going to happen. Tino Livramento obviously has that buyback clause and he could come in and fill that position. He does more play on the right, but he could then, in a way, replace Azpilicueta, I suppose. And he could be a potential rotational player again. And would he want that after the first team stability he's getting at Southampton? I can't see it. And that's why he left after all. What's going on with Chilwell, though? Because, you know, he cost a huge fee. He was amazing in flashes last season, but it's gone so quiet on that front. Do you think it's just because of pre-season or is there something else we're missing?
Well, you know what? I did read that Tuchel said that Alonso had 5 weeks of pre-season, like 5 weeks like working on his legs in pre-season, whereas Chilwell only had one or two or whatever it was. So I think that has a major impact on it. I know Alonso played a few games last season, but I do still think that Tuchel sees Chilwell as his number one wing-back, left wing-back. So I don't think we should read too much into it. You've got to think about how many games you've got coming up and just ease and Chilwell back. And Alonso has actually been playing well, so it would be harsh on Alonso to just drop him just like that. So I just think it's good man managing on Tuchel's part. I don't think we should read too much into it.
Yeah, I think it's I think it was the pre-season factor. I think it probably would have been different if Ben Chilwell had played games for England at the Euros, because he still would have had some match sharpness. But from the Champions League final to now, he hasn't really played any games. He went to the Euros and didn't feature. He didn't feature in any of the pre-season games either because he was on his extended holiday. So I'm hoping that he's used the international break get some sort of sharpness back, and I don't think it'll be too long till he's back in the team, to be honest. I agree with Berth. I think Tuchel does still see him as the number one left wing back, but while Alonso's playing well and you don't have to rush Chilwell back in, why would you?
I mean, are we not going for the Leroy Sané left wing back, or
I don't think he's the type of player to want to adapt and want to defend. I saw it under Pep a few times that he just didn't like tracking back and didn't like putting in the hard work, which Pep wanted him to do. I don't think he'd do that for Tuchel, so I think that's just an absolute no-go.
Fair enough. I mean, with transfers, there's a lad playing over in Germany who we've obviously thrown out, Angelino. I'm not thinking him. It is Leipzig, though. Josko Gvardiol. And I think he has a nickname Guardiola because of that name. He gets a lot of praise and he's only 19 and he's only just got a big move from Zagreb to Leipzig this summer. But he can play centrally and on the left. So it's one to keep an eye on as a player anyway, in general, if you're into your, just outside of Chelsea interest. But I think that's quite a potential. If he does really well for Leipzig this season, because of that central part and on the left, it's sort of a, two birds, one stone sort of concept. Apart from obviously the names we've mentioned, are there any other players that come to mind that we could bring in, be it maybe on the younger side?
I think we've sort of went over all the young players that I think that we could go for. I think when you look at Koundé, I mean, you talk about versatility. I think that's why I think he's a must. because he can play on the right as well. So I think, you know, if Reece James was to get injured, at least we've got someone that could play there. And he could play a right back in a back four. So I think Koundé, you're not just getting a centre back there, you are getting a centre back who's young, got all the attributes and has the versatility. So I think for me, Koundé is a must in that sense.
Yeah, there is one player who's on the left who I like, and that was Owen Vindel. He was in my, I did do a sort of Euro 2020 FPL sort of style team, but I picked him because he's done quite well at Alkmaar, and he seems to be a mainstay in the Dutch team. He's a good defender. Whether he would want a back, I think you got to be careful again coming from the Dutch league, but he could be one that could be potential. 21, turns 22 this November. That could be one. Any closing thoughts, Chris, before we hit the questions?
The only one I do think that we could go for, it's a bit of a risk, and because I think his fee would still be relatively high, but he was incredibly highly rated and now his career sort of stalled a bit, would be Matthias de Ligt at Juventus.
I mean, he shares my birthday. He's an absolute icon straight away. Get him in.
He was incredible at Ajax, and I think the move to Juventus didn't really work out for him, but I don't think that's made him a bad player. I just don't think it was the right club at the right time. Mm. So I don't know how willing Juventus would be to negotiate, but if they was, and depending on how their season goes, I mean, they've started terribly in Serie A. So if they was for any reason to miss out on Champions League, seems unlikely, but they nearly did last year. Mm. He could be a good shout. I think he showed great leadership at Ajax as well, which I think is a key thing.
Yeah, I mean, he was named the youngest captain of Ajax in their history in 2018.
Yeah, if you look at the players that we're looking to replace here, they're all characters as well, yeah, around the dressing room, on the pitch. Thiago Silva, even Marcos Alonso, Azpilicueta, obviously. They're all players with big personalities that you're not just looking to replace their quality, you're looking to replace their personality. And that's the risk sometimes with replacing them with a lot of young players who don't have that.
He does. I mean, that's kind of why I feel he hasn't done as well at Juventus. It's purely because of the fact that he's going into a team that has leaders. It's already got Bonucci. It's already got Chiellini. And I think that was a struggle because you don't get the captaincy at Ajax just because you get it. You don't get it handed to you on a plate just because they think, oh, you'll do. He showed leadership at 19 to earn that captaincy. And I think if he was in a club like Chelsea, where he would probably be seen as potential lead. Obviously, you've got Azpilicueta and, you know, Lukaku, etc. But I think he would, especially in the back line, if Rudiger was to go, he would sort. I think he'd step up. I think he'd be amazing. I really, really do.
I'll tell you what, who's another name that we haven't really mentioned, who there was rumours of him moving in the summer, but nothing really materialised, is Kimpembe from PSG.
High wage.
it is a high wage, but he's not too old, can play in sort of any formation, a leader, and I think he would be a good fit for us, especially in the back three. But again, how much are you going to pay for him? Will PSG want him to go? Wages, you know, it's one of them. But again, potential is there, options there, but yeah.
The thing is about him, though, is that surely PSG at some point are going to have to sell players like him to free up for the
mega at some point.
So you would imagine that at some point players like him are going to become available. So I think that could be a really good shout, actually.
Well, listeners, if you've got a suggestion, maybe it's Livramento, maybe it's Jules Koundé, maybe it's even Angelino. Just drop us a response. We'll definitely give a response to it. We're curious to see how you would replace these three key players and squad players. But with that, we're coming to the end of another episode, but we always have time, as we say, to answer some listener questions. So we're going to take a look in the mailbag to check out what has been sent in to us this week.
You've got mail.
We promised you last week we would get to your questions, and here we are. James Bell, he wrote in to ask, should we have let Callum Hudson-Odoi go on loan this summer?
I think, you know what, I'd even go one better and say I think we should have took the £40 million from Bayern Munich.
Was that this summer?
No, but like...
I was going to say, I don't remember that.
No, but like when we when he first was up for sale, well, when he was first up for sale, when there was first interest in him, I thought, looking back, I think we should have sold him. I know there was a lot of hype around him then, and in hindsight, you know, I actually think we should have sold him then, because I just think now, I think he's got better options. He hasn't quite kicked on from that injury when he's got back. I think I've always said he's lacked intensity when he's on the pitch, and I still think that. I think Dortmund would have been a great move for him this summer. I think he'd have really been in his element if he was to go to Dortmund this summer. Unfortunately, obviously, he stayed here, which is okay. You know, I want him to do well at Chelsea, but I don't think he'll get as many opportunities here this season as he would at Dortmund. So
it's kind of, in hindsight, it's also, and we say hindsight, now that Reece James is out suspended, it kind of screams, oh, we really do need someone on that side.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight's a funny thing, but I think, looking back, we should have sold him. I mean, £40 million for Hudson-Odoi back then would have been an absolute steal, really.
Didn't they offer like 60 and 75 as well?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I don't know if that was true or whatever, but I mean, look, I like Hudson-Odoi. I do think there's a lot of talent in there, but at the minute, I don't think he's getting it at Chelsea. I don't think he can fully show it at Chelsea. I think Dortmund has proven that it's a good place to go to bring out that potential, to bring out that talent. And I think it would have been a great move for him if he was to go this summer or last summer.
Chris?
I agree. I actually said at the time when Bayern Munich was interested that I thought he should have gone. I think everyone agrees that his best spell at Chelsea was under Maurizio Sarri. But even then, he did very little in the Premier League. He performed well in the Europa League, but he's never really done much in terms of contributing to the team in the Premier League. Even when he's been given minutes, he hasn't really grasped his opportunity. I don't know him. I'm not privy to anything around the training ground, but it seems to me like he doesn't have the mentality of a top level athlete in terms of, I think he's got all the talent, but does he really want to be the best or one of the best? I haven't ever seen that from him. I think the loan move to Dortmund would have made perfect sense. With Reece James out suspended now, I think if during James's suspension, if he doesn't start as the right wing back, and which I don't think he will. I think Azpilicueta will start there. I don't know why we kept him around. Mm-hmm. I don't know what benefit it is to him or the club to keep him around. Because if he doesn't get any game time this summer, this season, we're only decreasing his value. Yeah. You know, 2 years ago, we were talking about him being 70 million. Mm-hmm. Then this summer, it would have been, what, 40 you might have got for him. You know, next summer we're talking 30, and then all of a sudden he's contributed nothing really to the club for 3 years, and now we're getting £40 million less. So I didn't really understand why we turned that move down. Like I said, unless Tuchel's plan is to use him this season, but yeah, I highly doubt it.
If he doesn't start, and I agree with you there 100%, I think Azpilicueta will start there, and it will be Chalobah in the central defence, and he's earned that call up. You know, goal of the month winner for Chelsea. Fair play to Trevor, he deserved that. Yeah, I think sometimes the attitude of, you know, you have to take inspiration from the Pokemon theme. You know, I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. You kind of feel that he needs to take that mantra and go, I need to... Because we all wanted him to stay. We were crying out. We did an episode so long ago when he got the contract. We were Berth and I were so chuffed that he finally got that deal. Nothing's happened. And you think, oh, you've got it in the palm of your hands. We know your injury, and we know we're not ever going to take anything away from that, because that was horrific and it can literally end a career. But come on, you've got your opportunity. showcase it. You know, show why Bayern wanted you. Show why we handed you the contract we did. Yeah, that's the problem. Will we see it, or will he be a player that was, what could have been? And we really don't want him to be a what could have been. We really want him because he's an academy player to prove us all right and go, this is my slot. We'll have to wait and see. But I think hindsight, yeah, good job we didn't let him go because we kind of need that depth. But I think you're right, spot on, Berth. I mean, Dortmund would have been great for his development. But so be it. We'll have to see how that story unfolds. With that, we've come to the end of another episode of At the Bridge Pod. So till next time, listeners, that is us for now signing off.